You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you all around the world. We're so glad that you're joining us. And I want to give a shout out to all of our moms. I know that we've already done it, but I want to do it as well. And I just want to say Happy Mother's Day. And not only to you moms, to all of you women, we just want to let you know that we value you. You see, what happened is 2,000 years ago, Christ visited earth, God in the flesh. And you know what he did? He raised the level of women in the culture. And he let everyone know that they were created in his image as well. And so every Christ follower, you know what? We value women. We realize that they are equal to every man. And so we just salute you. We want you to know that we love you, and we don't know what we would do without you. Now, we're in this series called Hope in the Dark, and we've been following a man named Habakkuk, and he's given us a journal of his life and of his experience because he went through a very difficult time, a very hard time, and he wrote it down. And so we have it here in the Bible, and we're just going through it, and we're learning from him how to handle difficult and challenging times, how to be able to live by faith when everything around you has been shaken. And so today we want to continue with that because now he deals with the economic status of his time. And I know that all of us have been affected by that. Matter of fact, I just read that the number of people out of work has topped 33 million people. Wow. They say it's worse than the Depression. And so Habakkuk journaled about his economic crisis, and we want to learn from him today. He gives us a description of it in Habakkuk chapter 3, and here's what he writes. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Here's what he's choosing to do. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. What an attitude. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. That's his hope in the dark. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Wow. He says, he makes my feet like that of a deer to tread on the heights because he's lifting him to a whole new and different perspective. And so here we have Habakkuk. He's writing in his journal, and he's basically telling us the state of the economy. It's not the Dow Jones, but it is his world and his economy. And we see that Habakkuk's economy is really, really, really in bad, bad shape. He says this about it. He says there's no fruit on the fig trees. He says there's no grapes growing on the vine. He says that there's no olives, no produce of any kind, as well as a lack of sheep and cattle. Maybe that sounds familiar to you. Maybe it's in different words, but maybe you're saying that kind of describes my economic world right now. It's filled with difficulties and challenges. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, life can be difficult. Life can be hard. And what Habakkuk is teaching us is that we need to look to the Lord who strengthens us. And God is basically asking Habakkuk a question, and he's asking us a question. Do you trust me, or do you trust the world? Do you trust me? Do you believe in me? even though everything around you is being taken away, will you trust me? And so Habakkuk is talking a little bit about the first fruits. He's saying, you know what, I'm still going to offer the first fruits. And maybe you're not familiar with the term first fruits, but everyone in Habakkuk's day understood what the first fruits were, because they were shepherds and they were fishermen and they were farmers. And the first fruits was this: at the beginning of the harvest, when the first crops would come in, maybe the first animal would be born, or maybe the first catch, or maybe the first stalk of corn. What they would do is they would take that and they would offer it to God as an offering. And they called it the first fruits. And this was before they received anything else. That's why it's literally called the first fruits. And you might ask, Dwight, why would they do that? Why wouldn't they wait until they gathered all of the crops in? Because it was a statement of their faith. They were basically saying, you know what? God is our source. Not our crops, not our animals. God is our source. And so they had the first fruits. And basically, it signified the promise to come. It was an investment. They were saying, God, you know what? We believe in you. We love you. We know you. And we believe that you're going to take care of us. And so we're going to give you the very best. We're going to give you the first fruits. And this is how they built their trust in God. So that when times came that shook their world and shook their life, they could remember how God was faithful. And this is how we build our trust in God. He wants us to be generous, not just to help a ministry or to help a church or to fill a need, but to be able to be a statement of faith that every time you and I give, we're saying, you know what, God, you're my source. You're my provider. And when we learn to trust him in this way, what happens is we can experience a sustainable joy through all the dark times, through all the difficult times, through times like today. And so the question is, how do you deal with an economic scarcity? Well, Habakkuk gives us three things that I want to share with you today. Because Habakkuk believed in God. He had questions just like you and I, but he believed in God. And the first thing that he would say is that we're to give sacrificially. We're to give the first fruits, the very first thing that we gather, we are to give to God. And no doubt Habakkuk remembered what the writer of Deuteronomy said in Deuteronomy chapter 26, and I want us to look at it. He says, when you have entered the land, the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, he says, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Now, if you were a farmer, the harvest came in, and when the harvest came in, you know, you didn't know how much you were going to have because there were going to be multiple harvests. But by faith, what happens is you would give the first fruits and you would give sacrificially. Now, I know that you're probably not a farmer, but many times we have investments, we have bonuses, we have contracts, and we don't know exactly how that is all going to entail in the end. And so what God would call you and I to do is not wait until we tally up the score at the end, but he would say, no, I want your first fruits because I want you to learn to trust me no matter what. If you wait until it all comes in, okay, then what happens is you'll give out of your surplus. And God doesn't want you or God doesn't want me to do that. That's not his principle. God says, I want you to give sacrificially. I want you to give up front, the very first fruits, before you know how much you're going to give in, so that you can learn to trust me. And so what they would do Habakkuk would come and he would lay it at the altar. And he would give it to the priest. And he would offer it to God before he gathered any of the other harvest, because he didn't want to give out of the surplus. He wanted to give out of the first fruits. You see, what happens is, if you and I give out of the surplus at the very end, then what happens is, in times like this, we don't have a surplus. And the temptation for you and the temptation for me is to pull back. You see, the surplus is what you can afford. You kind of do the mathematical equation and you say, honey, I think we could give this and still go on our vacation and still live a certain lifestyle. And what happens is you end up giving out of a surplus without it affecting your lifestyle or the way in which you live. And God says, okay, Habakkuk would teach us that God would say, no, I want it to affect your lifestyle. I want it to change your life. I want it to have an impact on you. I want you to be able to give to me and continue to live, though. You see, God's given us all things for our enjoyment. But God would say to you and me, I want you to give sacrificially, not out of your surplus, but at the very beginning. And so Jesus would say it like this, and I think this is so powerful. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, he would say it like this. He would say, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money or mammon or stuff. And so what God really wants, and this is why he gave us this principle of first fruits, he wants your heart. He wants your trust. And what Jesus is saying is that, hey, Dwight, you can't serve stuff and me. You got to choose one or the other. And the one in which you choose, you'll put first in your life. And so Habakkuk would say, give your first fruit. Give sacrificially. And then he would say this. He would say, not only give sacrificially, but give joyfully. Give joyfully. Not out of duty, okay? Not out of duty. You see, Habakkuk, in his day, you were not allowed just to come in and put something in the plate. You weren't allowed to do that. It meant so much more to them than it does to you and me. You know, again, the writer from Deuteronomy lets us understand this. He says, the priest shall take the basket that we bring in from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Wow. Then he goes on to say this. He says, then you shall declare before the Lord your God. He says, you're going to bring it in and you're going to lay it before the altar, before the Lord all God, the Almighty. And then you're going to declare something. And here's what you're going to declare, he says. My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. What's he saying? He's reminding himself what God has done for him and his ancestors. How God made them into a great nation. How God blessed them in incredible ways. You see, it's a testimony of God's grace. He was saying, God, I acknowledge that every good thing that I have has come from you. You see, I understand that you work hard and I work hard. And we might say, hey, you know what? I've done this on my own, but you haven't done it on your own. I haven't done it on my own. There's one who has given me the gifts and given me the talent and given me the energy and the health. And the writer there in Deuteronomy says, you need to remind yourself where you came from. And that's why he said, we came from Egypt. One time we were slaves, and you set us free. You see, listen, you and I can never, ever give without connecting it to the gospel, without connecting it to grace. Every time you and I give, we need to remember, God, it's because of your grace. It's because of your goodness. And we must never, ever give without realizing what God has done for us. We have to write it up on our hearts, and we have to remind ourselves again and again. You see, God is the one who has blessed me. God is the one who has blessed you. Now, I realize that you might say, well, hey, Dwight, you know what? I'm pretty gifted. I'm pretty talented. Well, let's put you in a specific place in the world, because there are places in the world that if you were born, you know what? You wouldn't have what you have today. You wouldn't have the connections. You wouldn't have had the opportunities. You wouldn't have had the ability to do and to be and to experience what you have. God's opened up doors for you. And so I have to come back, and you have to come back, and I have to put this in my mind. I have to renew it in my mind over and over again. I only have what I have because of the generosity of God. It's because of his goodness. And so I give to him sacrificially, and I give to him joyfully, because I remember his goodness and his grace. And so God would want you and I, listen, God would want you and I to give until it hurts. It hurts our budget. It hurts our lifestyle. Not hurting in the way in which you and I would grit our teeth, but that it would hurt our budget and our lifestyle so that we would ultimately learn to trust him for everything we have in our life. See, Jesus said it like this in one of his messages. He says, do not keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts and decays and loses its value. Instead, he says, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourself that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. Listen to this. This is Jesus speaking. For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. Your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. What's he saying? He's saying, I want your heart. I want your heart. He's not against you and I having nice things and enjoying things. But he doesn't want those things to have you. That's why Jesus, in the middle of all of this, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever your heart most treasures, that's where you're going to give. And you know what? You will give effortlessly. If your heart is engulfing, you know what? You'll just continually give. You'll continue to buy clubs one right after another, and you won't have a problem with it. Your wife may have a problem with it, but you're not going to have a problem with it because that's where your heart is. Let me explain it to you this way. Let's say that you don't like baseball, but maybe your boys do. So you're going to take them to an Indians game, and you tell your wife, or you tell your spouse or your friend, hey, I'm going to take my kids to a ball game. And you kind of do it reluctantly. And you think, man, this is going to cost me an arm and a leg. And so what happens is you go and you watch the Indians, and as you're going there, you're thinking, I'm going to have to pay $25 to park this car. Are you kidding me? And then you get in and you find out that the hot dogs are $6 and the Cokes are $5 and the seats, you know, they're expensive too, and you just think, my goodness, I think I'm going to have to get a loan. I just blew $200. But take that back, and let's say that you love baseball and you love the Indians. You know what? You're not doing the accounting. You're not adding up the numbers. You're just saying, man, isn't this great? This is phenomenal. We're going to be able to see these guys play, and this is incredible. I love it. And you won't mind spending the $200 if you're excited about it. Why? Because that's where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. And that's why the first fruits are so important. See, this is how you know if your relationship with God is transactional, impersonal, or intimate. See, it can be transactional and impersonal. You can say, I believe in God, so I know I need to give, and you give out of guilt and shame. And by the way, I'd never give out of guilt and shame. God doesn't want you to give that way. But if you experience his grace, and you know that he loves you, and you know that he has forgiven you of all your sins, never to hold them against you again, and you know that he is for you and that he blesses you in all ways, you know what happens? We're willing to give the first fruits. We're willing to give sacrificially and joyfully. We're willing to give past the point of the surplus. We're willing just to be generous. And that's how you know whether or not you know God intimately and personally. It's not by singing. It's not even by reading the Bible. It's by this. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And so Habakkuk would say, give sacrificially, give joyfully. And then he would say this. He would say, give graciously, give graciously. Habakkuk gave us the economic status of his world, and he's taking it up to another level. And he says, though the fig tree does not bear forth figs, though there's no grapes on the vine, though there is no olive, though there is no cattle and no sheep in the stall, he is saying, even if God doesn't provide in the way that I think he should, and I have questions, and I ask God, how could you let this happen? He says, you know what? I'm still going to give graciously because I know who he is. And I know that he is faithful. And I know that he is good. And Habakkuk is saying to you and me that he wants us to have that relationship as well. That we can trust God. And we can rejoice in God. Maybe not in the circumstances, but we can rejoice in him. You see, Habakkuk says it like this. He says, though all of this is going on, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. If you weren't able to join us last week, I encourage you to go back to the other messages, because otherwise you're just jumping in the middle of someone's journal, and maybe this doesn't make sense. But he said last week, I remember who God is, that he's eternal, he's self-existent, he's holy, he never does what is wrong, he's almighty and he's faithful. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. Everything's going wrong and Habakkuk is still saying, you know what, I'm going to rejoice in God, my Savior, the one who has forgiven me and given me eternal life. He is saying, I can maintain poise and peace and joy even though everything around me is falling apart. Maybe you're thinking, Dwight, I see what you're saying and I even understand it. But you know what, man, I'm just not there. I'm just not there. Let me tell you why. Because you don't understand grace. See, when you understand grace, what happens is you begin to realize everything that you have, everything that you enjoy is because of God. And you might say, Dwight, I can't reach that standard. Well, let me tell you, when I hear Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will rejoice in God my Savior, you know what it does to me? It crushes me, because I want to be there too. I long to be there, that I can trust God no matter what. That I can give sacrificially, I can give joyfully, I can give graciously. And I'm trying to teach my kids this. Because I tell our kids over and over again, I've told them ever since they've begun to understand a little bit about money, that we could live at a much higher lifestyle if we wanted to, but we choose to give sacrificially. We choose to give joyfully. We choose to give graciously because of what God has done. And we want other people to know that and to experience it. And so Habakkuk comes back, and here's what he says. He says this, and this is incredible. He says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. He says, they depend on themselves, and their lives are crooked. They don't have the peace. They don't have the joy. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. And that's what he's calling you and I to do. And by the way, you know what? Just so that you'll know where my heart is, give sacrificially, give joyfully, give graciously. And you know what? You don't even have to give to New Point. I'm not talking about just giving to New Point. I'm talking about giving to God and what he would have you to do. And what happens is, what you will find is you'll find a God that you can trust. No matter what. You see, the Hebrew writer says it like this. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus gave. Jesus was the first fruit of God, and he gave. And it didn't change his life, he lost his life. And God just wants you and I to give so that it would change our life, so that our hearts would belong to him. And once you experience God's grace and you realize that, you'll give sacrificially, you'll give joyfully, you'll give graciously. And so I have a question for you as we wrap up. Who or what is your source? Who or what is your source? Or let me put it to you this way. Who or what do you trust? Do you really trust God? If you trust God, then what happens is, you know what? You find yourself giving to him sacrificially, giving to him joyfully, not reluctantly, and giving to him graciously, all because of who he is and what he's done for you. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for your generosity that you've extended to us and that Habakkuk points to. And that is the gift of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you gave your very best. You gave the first fruit. And that he came and he lived and he died and he rose again so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have eternal life. Now you want our hearts. You want us now in return to be generous and to be able to meet people's needs and to be able to become like you. And so we pray today, God, that in the midst of all of this, even if it's like the widow's mite, that we would give and that we would bless those around us and bless those who are helping other people during this very difficult time, that they might honor you and they might glorify you and they might give thanks to you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.